The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
All eyes are on Ohio, and the power of our votes has never mattered more for shaping the future of our nation and stopping radical Bernie Moreno's extremist agenda from rolling back our rights. Our civil rights are on the line. Our reproductive rights are on the line. Our voting rights are on the line. Every single vote will matter this election. Vote to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad. Not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.
Welcome back in, everybody, to a Tuesday week two edition of Birds 365 after the Eagles collapse at the end. They fall to 1-1 on the season. Joined now by Jeff Kerr from CBS Sports. Jeff, welcome to the show, man, after a brutal loss for the Philadelphia Eagles in week two. How you doing on this Tuesday morning?
I've been better. I mean, I slept 4 hours.
Four hours, baby.
That makes three of us. We got about 11 hours between the three of us.
Slept. Felt sick while Barkley last night. He ain't doing too well. He's pinning loss on himself. I did think Reed Blankenship had some damning quotes, though. For all you Nick Sirianni, haters out there, and I know you're out there. Coaches did not talk to the players last night. The players talked more so. Jalen Hurts.
Yeah, it seems like he lost his voice talking.
From stuff I've been hearing, yes.
Jalen was struggling with his voice last night after the game, and I don't think he was sick. But let's start with the play call. It drives me insane, Jeff. What the flip wrong is with the play call? I mean, it's perfect. They ran the same play, and they almost got a touchdown to Saquon. They thought it was a touchdown, overturned it, was down at the half-yard line. Then they pushed it in. Same play call. It was going to work. They weren't going to get a touchdown. They were going to get a first down. Game over. Everybody's happy. And he dropped the football. And to Saquon's defense, by the way, that's exactly what he said. Drop the ball. Let my team down. Why is Saquon the only one that can see that?
People love to blame the coaches for everything that goes wrong instead of blaming the players. Catch the ball. It's amazing how they defend players. Catch the ball, get the first down, win the game. Plain and simple. Oh, by the way, for all you people there that said they should have ran on 3rd-and-3, what the hell was going to stop that defense from stopping Kirk Cousins anyway? Because they let go 6 plays in a minute one, and they scored. I love all the geniuses. I really do. I really do, John.
I'm glad you're fired up about it, because I was fired up about it last night.
Again, and I say this, I don't coach at the professional level. I do coach at the high school level. And look, make the play. Just make the play. It's simple.
And that's one of your best players. You're arguably that's your best
player on the field, John.
Yeah, was having a great game. No reason not to trust him to make a play in a big situation, and he didn't make the play. I mean, that's it. Oxum's razor. Simplest explanation is usually the right one. He dropped the ball.
I think I was more upset after the drop that they didn't go for it on 4th down, because I figured, well, they can get 3 yards. They can win the game.
Well, they could, and they're very aggressive and typically. They went for fourth and four early in the game.
That's what I don't get. Why would you reverse?
Nick said after
ELG brought that up on Twitter, John. I'm not sure if you saw that. There's no consistency. There's some fourth downs Nick goes, or some he doesn't. There's not really a lot of consistency.
Well, yeah, but Nick explained that at the press conference. I mean, he is right to an extent. Look, I don't agree with all of his decisions, and I didn't agree on fourth and four early in the game. I kicked the field goal there. I think it's a little bit too far. When you get plus three and you're at four or five, I'm going to take the field goal. That's my personal opinion. But you can't just say, oh, we're always, and Nick said this, we're always going to go for it on fourth and three. We're always going to go for it on fourth and whatever. You can't do that, because then it becomes a tendency and everybody knows it and everybody's prepared for it. So there is a feel to it. You can't just say, it's fourth and three, fourth and four in the first quarter is the same as fourth and three in the fourth quarter. It's not with the game on the line. So there's, and that's where the intuition comes into it. And, but I wouldn't have had a problem if they went for it, because, you know, It's a 3-point game and it turns into a 6-point game. So you do force them, you take the field goal off and you force them to go the length of the field. Plus you're down to basically a minute five, minute 10, which they scored in anyway. But you know, you're probably able to get off the field better than what happens. Because and the most egregious part of the drop pass, perhaps, is the fact that the clock stopped.
And I think that's why people are upset with the pass. But
if you catch
the ball, it doesn't matter.
Here, you know, all I hear on this show all off season is how great this player is, and now you can't trust him to make that play. Does that make sense?
All I can say is what he said last night. You know, he's made that catch. But when I logged in to this, there's a stat out there, and people don't like to hear bad stats, John, but there is one. Most drops by a running back since 2021, Saquon Barkley.
Yep. Yeah. And that's got to be factored into the decision there, John. I'm sorry, but it does.
That's got to be factored in. Guess what? Accountability for everybody. All right, I'll factor that in. And Jeff knows, I already said, he's not a great receiver when he's got to reach.
He never was.
No. So believe me, I factor that in. So what are these other morons? Why aren't they factoring in the fact that, oh, maybe he isn't the greatest receiver in the history of the world? And now you want to play revisionist history. So take some accountability. I'm not talking about you, Xander. But
no, I know what you're saying.
How about taking some accountability on that?
Well, my issue is he dropped the ball. Plain and simple. Yeah. You catch the ball, we're having a much different conversation this morning.
Oh, well, then we're not having a conversation because the game's over. And everybody's saying how great Saquon is.
You know what conversation we'd be having this morning, John? Because the Eagles pass rush is pretty much non-existent. That's what we'd be having.
Yeah. Well, which is true. And by the way, Jalen Carter didn't start that game, Jeff.
No, Milton Williams did.
Yeah. I get why everybody's on Bryce Huff. We were talking about that, but I'm more concerned about Jalen Carter. What the hell is going on with Jalen Carter?
Five pressures for two games. That's not what the Eagles thought they were getting.
It's not what I thought they were getting. No. I thought this was going to be a superstar level player.
Jalen was frustrated last night, by the way. We're talking to Jalen after the game.
What, Jalen Hurts or Jalen Carter?
Jalen Carter. Carter.
I'm sure he was. Why wouldn't he be? The production's not there. Josh Sweat says they're not on the same page again. He said the same thing last year. You know, get on the same page.
Yeah. So you mean to tell me that you got rid of Sean Desai, who ran the Vic Fangio scheme, and you bring in Vic Fangio, who runs
Matt Patricia was there last night, by the way.
Yeah, that was weird. What was he doing there?
Yeah. What was Matt Patricia doing there?
I saw him on the broadcast. I'm like, what the hell is Matt Patricia doing there?
Belichick was there for, I think, some reason as well, wasn't he?
Belichick was scouting his team for next year. He's like, oh, what do I got? What am
was he on the Manning cast?
Yeah, Belichick was on the Manning cast. I have to watch the Manning cast because apparently when
they take you through.
They were breaking it down like the entire comeback for the Falcons.
And it was Peyton, it was Eli, and it was Matt Ryan. So you had three high-level smart quarterbacks. Taking you through that 2 minute drill.
I gotta ask Matt Ryan as a CBS employee how he's allowed to go on ESPN production.
Is he? See, I can't keep
up. Oh, yeah, he's on the NFL today.
Yeah, I can't keep up. But Jeff, Matt's really smart.
Jeff, I want to ask about Jalen Hurts and just the decision he made at the end of the game, forces that ball. Jesse Bates intercepts it. I thought it was a kind of a brutal decision by Jalen Hurts. You still have 20 plus seconds on the clock, you still have a timeout. And you're 15 yards away from being in Jake Elliott range. I think he could have gotten more than 15 yards. It's not like there were 6-7 seconds left. You know, get the ball down the field, take your time out, clock the ball, and get in field goal range. He forces it into Jesse Bates' hands in double coverage. It was a tough decision for me.
I want to get this, John, because from when Jalen made the decision to throw it, I saw Devonta Smith open. I don't know if you saw that.
He flashed open, yeah, real quick.
Yeah, so maybe that's what Jalen was thinking. Yeah, yeah. I mean,
windows are tight in the NFL, you guys both know that.
They're very tight, that one was closing. I mean,
maybe that was a hero ball play. I don't know that was.
Well, it was a bad throw on.
Yeah, it wasn't a good throw,
it was a bad throw, but I think it was a worse decision. There's no need to force the ball there, even to where if we threw it almost 30 yards downfield, I just didn't think he needed to even do that.
But if you see that flash, you're trying to win the game. And if he makes that completion, to Jeff's point, the game's over. The Eagles probably win because Jake's probably going to hit
John,
that.
You got to minimize your downside. That was a play with the timeout on the board. Any play was open. A QB draw, a run. It doesn't matter what it was. A pass to the middle of the field. Anything was open at that point because you still had the timeout. He didn't need to make that decision at all. It was hero ball.
Well, you know, I'm not going to go that far. I think it was a poor decision, and I think it was even more than poor decision. I thought it was poorly executed throw. I'm not going to go full hero ball because I did see what Jeff saw. There was a little bit of flash when he said, oh, I might have this. And if he really Brett Favre'd it in there, you know, on a line, you know, maybe, but. Yeah, it was a terrible throw.
Yeah, I mean, you needed 15 yards for a win.
That's what I'm saying. It's the same thing with Saquon. It's just a bigger emphasis.
Yeah, I know. I'm judging the result. It was a bad decision.
I think it's a poor decision. But is it? I lean towards, you know, if it's 50-50, I lean towards poor decision more. But if he does, you know, fire it in there on the line, you know, is it more 50-50 on poor execution? The throw was terrible.
It was a bad throw. Really bad throw.
The throw was terrible. That's what I'm trying to say. So if you're doing it, say, was it 50% poor decision, 50% poor throw, I would lean towards poor decision being 51-52, but the throw could have screwed up the entire thing, and maybe it was a little bit more open if you're throwing a fastball in there on the line, but he didn't. So no, but hero ball to me is what they did in Seattle. I don't think it was that. I don't think it was quite
maybe
that.
It wasn't that egregious, but I think you got Jake Elliott. He's one of the best kickers in the league.
And well, not anymore. It's just average.
Kickers in the NFL right now are drilling 55 yarders like they're nothing. Take it. You need 15 yards to win the football game and get out of there with the win.
I thought everybody was after the London touchdown. Everybody said, because London got the 15-yard penalty. And everybody said, what a dumb play. I'm like, all right, he's got to kick a 48-yarder. Who cares? Bang. You know, it seems that's easy.
It's funny, though, because you can at least block a 48-yarder.
Well, you would think, yeah. But nobody is. The first 2 weeks have been crazy for kickers, Jeff. crazy. Oh, yeah.
Well, did you see the stat where there's only like four missed field goals from 50 plus yards and Justin Tucker is two of them?
I know.
Yeah. But they're like 31 of 35. And the kid from Dallas, he might make an 80 yarder when it's all said and done.
Brandon Aubrey might need a Hall of Fame bus now, because that guy is just going to break every kicking record there is.
Yeah. But the Eagles had more time, and I think, you know, maybe the sense of urgency. Typically, you think, all right, there's only 20-something seconds left. You need urgency. But they didn't need that kind of – they had more opportunities. So I agree it was a poor decision. I'm just not going full-fledged hero ball quite yet. Now, getting back to Jeff, Nick got a little surly, and I got this from Dan Cilio on our post-game show. Like, and I've talked about this since they made the decision. I don't like this setup. And we saw an example of why last night when I think it was Jeff. I think it was Jeff McClain talking about clarifying the play calls. And Nick.
And Nick thought he was getting baited or something.
Yeah.
Like that.
And Nick went, Kellen is the offensive coordinator that makes the calls. Yeah. If you're trying to stir that up, I'm the head coach. People took it the wrong way. I had Cilio taking it the wrong way, saying he's throwing Kellen Moore under the bus. This is why I don't like this setup. If you're taking away the play calling from the offensive coordinator you hired that everybody wanted him to hire because they didn't want him to play call in game two, what you're going to get killed for that? And by the way, it was a good play call, and people don't even understand that from Kellen Moore, so that wasn't the problem.
You know,
so
John,
what is he taking away?
The number one question I get from people in general, what does Nick Sirianni do? That's the number one question I get. They don't know. Oh, by the way, the Reed Blankenship quote escalated that. What does he do?
What did Reed say? I didn't
Reed pretty much said, like, none of the coaches spoke. We're a player-led team the locker room. When there was a message from the coaches, and they're because, so what does Nick Sirianni do?
Well, maybe the whole player led team thing isn't working well. Let the coaches lead the damn team. If the play, we're on a historic collapse coming off of last year when it was player led. Now you're coming into this year and you just collapsed to the Atlanta Falcons. By the way, I got to say it. I think you guys let Jalen Hurts off the hook there. It was first and 10 with 25 seconds on the
clock. Well, I'm typically a Jalen hater, I'm told. So
Jalen answers your questions, John. So you must not be that big of a hater.
Yeah, I just said I don't think it was hero ball. I think he pushed it too far. I think he made a poor decision, but the execution was even poorer. But I don't think it was a Seattle situation where he's going off script and
He's just trying to force it into AJ.
I get it. But, you know, John, similar to your sentiment on Saquon, where sometimes you have to put it on the player. This is a quarterback.
Well, I said it was poor decision, you know, poor execution. Yeah,
but again, Andrew, this is the other problem. The only player everybody ever seems to blame is the quarterback.
Yeah, but
let's not blame Dallas Goedert because he can't get open.
But Dallas Goedert had the first down catch.
Whoa. Right.
Jalen's making $50 million, and we're looking for Dotson and Goddard and everybody else.
Well, Dotson can't get open either.
How about Jalen Hurts elevates the team when A.J. Brown's out? You make a dumb decision there. You need 15 yards to win the football game and get out of there with the win, and he forces it on first and 10.
I still see you guys have unrealistic expectations on this quarterback. You think he's a top three quarterback, and he's not.
Well, he's paid like one.
No, he's not. He's the 10th highest paid quarterback in football. I'm tired of that.
Yeah.
He's the 10th highest paid quarterback in football.
I'm not letting him off the hook like you are. I'm sorry. I think that was a terrible decision.
I'm not letting him off the hook.
Coming off of a bunch of bad decisions last week, coming off of bad decisions last year, it's now 24 turnovers in 18 games.
You guys have so many unrealistic expectations on this football team, man.
Jeff, carry the heavy lifting for me. I love it.
This is not a Super Bowl team. They all have a pass rush. They're old. They have a lot of bad draft picks playing. This team is not
it's
a Super
very,
Bowl
it's team. A very top heavy team. Very top yes. heavy.
Yeah, everybody not knows a lot that. Of yeah, depth. It's a fantasy football manager's dream, and that's the problem with football fans today. They look at everything betting in fantasy football.
Oh, I love Jeff Kerr.
I'm not a bettor, and I'm not a fantasy player, Jeff.
I'm just saying, AJ Brown, we have to Hunter Smith, we have Dallas Goedert, we have Saquon Barkley. Well, yeah, you also have Bryce Huff, you have Nolan Smith, you have Jordan Davis, you have Devin White, who can't even get active. It's, come on.
Sometimes
you need your quarterback to elevate the team, man. That's football. That's why they're
my favorite.
He's not Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, I'm just saying. At some point, you have to rely on your quarterback to make up for the difference. AJ Brown goes down. Everyone's like, "Oh, what's Jahan Dotson going to do? What's Jalen Hurts needs to elevate the team."
How many times did I warn people on this stinking show about Jahan Dotson? You know, to Jeff's point, and Jeff's doing God's work this morning because I'm tired. This is the greatest Jeff Kerr spot
Jeff
ever.
Jeff Kerr's 4 hours sleep is beautiful when you're listening to Sports Talk Radio on the way home to get you fired up. It's even better.
My God, people overrate these players. Saquon in the passing game. How many times have I talked about that, Xander? The player that they think exists doesn't exist anywhere. Maybe a little bit with Christian. Maybe a little, but even that, it's not like he's playing
with
Steve.
He's got his flaws too.
Yeah. That player doesn't exist. Devin White, how many times I warned people? He wasn't a good player in Tampa.
I've had Tampa Bay people tell me he wasn't a good player in Tampa. Well, we all know what we're talking about. So,
Jahan Dotson, he never cracked 550 yards in Washington, and people think he's going to replace AJ Brown. AJ Brown,
but just remember how he fleeced the Commanders. Well, I got news for you. Adam Peters is pretty good.
Adam Peters wasn't getting a third round pick from anybody else for Jahan Dotson. How he overpaid for Jahan Dotson.
That's what happens when your third wide receiver competition is between Paris Campbell, who can't see the field, Britton Covey, who only seems to get screens in the end zone. By the way, Britton played awesome last night.
He did play awesome. And two of his plays, not big plays, but they were 9-10 yard plays, were called back on those illegal downfield calls. But Jalen at least trusts Britton Covey. He didn't trust anybody else besides Devontae.
He went to Britton a lot. You're right, John. He clearly trusts Britton Covey a lot more than he trusts Dotson or really even Goddard. I mean, Goddard wasn't really anywhere until the end of the game.
I have held on to this for a long time. Zach Ertz was twice the tight end Dallas Goddard was. And Dallas Goddard's
receiving.
Jeff, I said this in the summer. I got ripped. I said, I think Dallas Goedert's a little overrated. I got destroyed in the chat.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
Transform your home in one weekend with paint from Menards. Get a paint that combines durability and gorgeous color. Dutch Boys Forever Interior Paint and Primer in One offers powerhouse protection with its stain-blocking, odor-reducing technology. And with Dutch Boys Easy Opening Smooth-Pouring Container, transforming your home has never been easier. View our entire selection of Dutch Boy paint on Menards.com. Plus the weekly flyer and other great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
The Humana Honor Medicare Advantage Plan gives you $1,860 back each year in your Social Security check. Choose coverage that helps you keep more money in your pocket. Learn more at GetHumana.com. Humana, a more human way to healthcare. The Part B Give Back benefit pays part or all of your Part B premium, and the amount may change based on the amount you pay for Part B. Limitations and restrictions may apply. Humana is a Medicare Advantage HMO and PPO organization with a Medicare contract. Enrollment in any Humana plan depends on contract renewal.
Dallas Goedert's a great blocker. I agree with you.
Yeah,
I agree
Dallas,
with John.
Dallas
I agree with John on that. But we put Dallas Goedert on this pedestal of the Zach Ertz pentathlon. It's just not that.
No, certainly not as a receiver. I mean, Zach was a great receiver. I mean, what did he have? 116 catches the 1 year? It was absurd.
Yeah, he has the record for reception by Oh, by the way, Zach Ertz also caught the winning touchdown in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, he got the fourth and one, too.
Yes, he did.
Yeah. We were talking to Nick Foles yesterday.
By the way, John, while I'm on my little tangent here, how could the Eagles lose on Nick Foles night? The Eagles lost their final game at Veterans Stadium in the NFC Championship to a team who never won a game in 40-degree weather. Yes, they can lose on Nick Foles night.
Yeah, Nick Foles night. It was Jason Kelce night. It was Nick Foles night. It was Jalen Brunson night. It was everybody. Shane Gillis night. It was Bradley Cooper night.
I love Jason Kelce, but man, are the Kelces milking this thing. They really are.
Yeah, the Kelces are overexposed. Come on, tone it down. I love the Buffalo Wild Wings.
They're on the broadcast. They're everywhere, yeah. The Kelces, man.
I like that Buffalo Wild Wing guy.
I do too.
Yeah.
Like Jason
does. Free plug for Buffalo Wild Wings. You know, if you want to advertise on the show, but I do like that giant buffalo on those commercials.
By the way, for those of you local guys, PJ Willihan's is a much better chain than Buffalo Wild.
All right, we're giving free plugs all over the place. PJ Willihan's, yeah, right near my home in Haddonfield, my former home. So, yeah, there's a good one there. But yeah, free plugs. I don't want to. I was going to say something about Haddonfield relations to somebody else, but I best not do that.
Jeff, let's go to the defensive line. You brought it up. You weren't happy with them. What's your level of concern right now on Bryce Huff through 2 weeks of the season here?
I want to give him the benefit of the doubt, like John does it through 2 weeks. But from what I saw in training camp, I'm on your side on this, Sandra. I'm concerned. Like we were talking to him last night, he looked like a lost puppy. Like he had no answers.
Yeah, he's shocked. I think he's shocked by the attention.
Yeah, and this ain't New York.
This is how it works in Philadelphia. Yeah. If you're not playing,
yeah, it's amazing. By the way, when it comes to football, like typically New York is the major media market for everything, but not in football. Man, there is more of a microscope on the Eagles than even the New York teams. And the Eagles have the largest media contingent in the NFL, and they have had it for many years. I think it might be overwhelming Bryce Huff.
This is where I think it got it last night. Like, it's me, DeCheco, E.J. Smith, Ed Kratzer just talking to him, and all of a sudden you see, like, five cameras coming. He's like,
oh, the camera people, man. Oh,
they pissed off Jalen Carter last night.
Oh, good. I hope
like, Jalen. It was just me and Martin talking to him, and he's answering our questions. And all of a sudden, the camera people came, and some choice words coming out of Jalen's mouth.
Good for Jalen.
And everybody's like, "Well, Drew, of course, frustrated." I'm like, "Yeah, he's frustrated, but not for what you're frustrated. Not for what you think he's frustrated about."
Yeah, I don't want to compare him to. They're the worst people in the world.
Yeah, I felt bad for him because I was in the middle of asking him a question when that happened, and then he just said to me, "What was your question again?" And I'm like.
Yeah, it was like a morgue when we got in the locker room. So at least they're taking the loss hard, I guess.
Oh, they were. I think Slay took it hard. I know Barkley did.
Yeah, so Slay's getting a lot of crap. He was on social media talking about the final play, apologizing to Philadelphia. Bad thing to do because people are just shitting on him. But, you know, that's a tougher play. I was watching that as well. And he was clearly, you know, with Drake London. I don't know if you heard before you came on, but I was talking about it. So Drake London, if you're a cornerback in the NFL, well, and you're in the red zone, you got the 6'4", 215-pound contested catch guy. He was playing inside, assuming the post was coming, and it was an option route, and Drake broke it off. The other team's playing too, Jeff. Why is that so hard for
Jake
people
London
to understand?
Jake London was the number eight pick in the draft, right? Seven or eight. Like, he doesn't suck.
No.
Yeah, Jeff, I did not think, though, he was going to be the guy to beat us last night. He had a couple big catches for that team, and, you know, he had slant.
Well, I'd mentioned on first.
John's right. You got to factor the slant. It's a tougher decision, and I think, you know, than it is to make in the moment than it looks on tape. But he had Darius Slay flat-footed on that play and just easily got open, you know, inside the five-yard line and got the touchdown.
I had made the point on the pregame show, or maybe it was Birds, they were unable to get the football to Drake London in week one. And I thought the overcorrection was coming. I mentioned it a couple times. Saw it with Marvin Harrison Jr. in Arizona.
Yeah.
Saw it a couple years ago with Devontae Smith in that Detroit game. He didn't get a catch, and all of a sudden the Eagles are throwing them the football two times in a row to start the next game. That's what people do, and they managed to get it to him six times. Drake London, seven targets. I saw that part of it coming. Well, yeah, I mean,
it didn't feel forced though. It was interesting. It's because I think it was, I can't remember if it was Morris or Zach Robinson that said, they said, look, you know, he's going to get open. We're not really concerned.
All I'm saying is, thank God I'm not, but if I'm a corner in that situation, I'm playing the post as well. It makes sense. That's the problem.
Yeah.
And Slay's a high IQ player, so he's playing the odds. And sometimes they get you.
Yeah, I get what you're saying.
You know, John, before that play happened, I actually thought we were going to talk to Avante Maddox last night because I thought he made one heck of a play in the end zone.
Man, he came back. He hurt his – I guess it was his back. I thought it was his hamstring because he came off like he was – like he was chasing I think it was Mooney. And just a little bit of an overthrow, and he came.
He went to the tent, right?
I don't think he ever went in the tent. I was surprised because I'd like, oh, that's hamstring. That's multiple weeks. He was kind of like hopping, like it was his hamstring, as he was chasing him. And I think it might have been his back. And you know, a couple minutes later, he's got his helmet. He's testing it out, and he got back out there. So,
by the way, they wanted to test Cooper. I saw Kirkland Cooper's way. Cooper was in position to make a play, so they couldn't go. They couldn't go that way.
Yeah. He wasn't out there a lot, though, because Avante got I forget the snap counts. I got to pull it up. But so Avante came back pretty quickly. And, you know, in that time, Cooper was only out there for one snap, so it was one play. That's how long. And Avante was right back out there. And in that amount of time, I got the people crapping on Avante Maddox with the glass comments. Those are the people that drive me crazy.
Those are the same people who have a paper cut and have to leave work. I'm being honest.
So he hurt his back, evidently, and he was back in not necessarily if they didn't have a nickel out there, but Cooper only played one play. Kaylee Ringo played two, so might have been involved with that as well. Because Ed asked me at one point, is that Ringo in the slot? And I was writing something, and I didn't see it. So I'll have to look at that on the film. No Isaiah Rogers. So that was a big thing. What did you make of no Isaiah Rogers?
They can't afford to get him on the field. It's not a good matchup. Falcons have some big targets.
Yeah, I said that.
Doesn't work for him.
Yeah. Just not a physical enough player to deal with wide receivers of that size.
Yeah, I think it's still injury related. I think it was more of a safety blanket, but I do think Quinyon's staying outside now. I think he's done enough. Even though it was disappointing.
So he got caught by
Mooney at one point on that final drive, I think.
Yeah, and he blamed himself, but overall, you've targeted four times, allowed two catches for, I think it was like 30 yards.
Yeah, whole collapse. What do you think of Vic's scheme in general? Where are you? I mean,
I hate it. I always hated it. I don't understand the love for this guy. This guy who hasn't won Jack.
Oh, I understand the love for him.
Jeff, it's the bend but eventually break defense. It's not the bend but don't break.
In fairness, Jim Johnson did that too, but Jim Johnson doesn't have a Super Bowl.
Different era, though. Different. John points it out. I mean, the NFL is now caught up to it. Everybody does the Vic Fangio defense. It's not this, you know, different line of thinking anymore. It's all over the league. Yeah.
Well, you're right, Xander. Now it's let's run the ball because that's how we know we can beat it, and let's bank on defenses not being able to tackle.
How does, by the way, With CJ Gardner Johnson, and CJ, if you're listening, you might want to turn up the music because I'm going to rip you a little bit.
He might, if he knows how to do it, he might be recording the screen as we speak.
Yeah. Well, how was a guy, because he made what would have been the biggest play of the game.
That was a great play.
If Saquon makes the catch, the biggest play of the game is him stuffing Bijan Robinson like he's Johnny Locke.
That was a hell.
It really was.
I mean, Bijan had all the momentum too. I mean, he stopped him, and I'm like, "Holy shit!"
This is the same guy who. This is the same guy who also can't make a tackle on.
Yes,
on Darnell Mooney.
How is that possible? How is the same guy? How does he look like Ronnie Lott on one play, and he looks like a matador with Darnell Mooney, who's not the most physical player in the world?
Oh, by the way, that was one of the plays the Eagles blitzed.
Yeah,
well. Yeah. So that's why they don't blitz for all you.
By the way, nobody knows what a blitz is.
No one knows what a blitz is here.
I see all these numbers because I know you're a big stat guy, Jeff. A blitz is when you send more than four rushers. So if you're sending, for instance, Zach Bond, but you're dropping out whomever. Bryce Huff, Josh Sweat, Brandon Graham, whomever, as a black, that's not a blitz. That's a Don Capers zone blitz as a term. Like Jody used to love semantics. Like I would tell him big nickel. That's what they call big nickel. Well, they say, why do you call it big nickel when it should be dime or whatever? Because that's what they label it. That's what they call it. A zone blitz is a zone blitz because they call it a zone blitz. But when you're using statistics, a blitz is, are you rushing more than four? And the Eagles were at 17 or 18% in week one.
Yeah, it's around there.
And everybody's like, oh, they blitz more. No, he actually blitzed less than he typically does. But if they see the wrong guy rushing, they think it's a blitz. They're not good at the blitz. And by the way, Vic Fangio's history is pretty lengthy. And when he does blitz, sometimes it's a run blitz, which is another thing people have a difficult time understanding. But I love Vic as a defensive coach. I just think that's part of it. If you're good, people copy you, and then the league catches up and you got to evolve. I think, and he has evolved a little bit, but I think he needs to evolve a little bit more because too many veteran quarterbacks have seen this defense too much and are starting to figure it out.
You know what, John? And Vic Fangio said, five or six different defenses over his long NFL career, but he could change it up completely next week. I don't think it matters with that personnel.
Well, good point. If you can't rush the passer, you're in trouble.
The Eagles do two things that just are cringeworthy on defense. They can't tackle. They can't rush the passer.
It's not a good, twosome. Although, you know, CJ looked like Ronnie Lott on one play. So,
yeah,
and that would have been a highlight of the game if the running back. So if you want to look up, we'll end it there with Jeff Kerr. Thank you, Jeff, for getting up early with us. I do appreciate that because I know how.
Yeah,
I know firsthand how long these nights are.
I'll second that, Jeff. The appreciation.
Yeah.
John and I don't make it any easier by actually doing this before we actually come on and do this.
Yeah. At Jeff Kerr CBS, make sure you follow Jeff on X. The idea of decision making, you can go on Google or whatever you want to do. Artificial intelligence now, ask Siri, whatever your favorite thing is about decision making. And you know, there's a bunch of books to help you, but help people with everyday life. And the first thing they all say is, a good decision does not guarantee a good outcome. First thing.
Yep.
And what that means is, hey, shit happens. But the more good decisions you make, the more good things that'll happen over the long term. The Eagles made a good decision on the Kellen Moore play call, and they got a bad outcome. It's as simple as that.
They made a good decision to sign Saquon Barkley, too. It's going to pay off.
In short term, bad outcome. Good point.
It just sucks. That's the result, and it sucks that we're talking about a loss when, let's be honest, they should have won. And, John, you've seen them. Xander, you've seen them. I've seen some poor collapses over the Eagles. And I said to John, this reminds me of 97, week three against the Cowboys. They had that game won. Now, that was on the road, but they had that game won multiple times, and they just kept finding ways to lose it. And it comes down to Tom Hutton can't hold a snap on a 20-yard field goal, and they lost.
Yeah. That's a poor job by the coach when the holder drops the snap.
Yeah, it's coach's fault. It's also coach's fault. Ty Detmer beats a blitz, and it's Freddie Salomon on the play before that. Yeah, it's, you know, it's always coach's
fault. But to the point about it's always the coaches, that is harkens right to my point of why this was a shitty setup from Jeffrey Lurie from step one. Because this was always going to happen, just happened a little bit earlier than I expected.
Our buddy Bill Colarulo said, I remember him tweeting this. It was like a random thought. I just have a bad feeling about this whole setup, this Nick Sirianni setup. And,
yeah, it's,
you know, it's not good. I'm like, you know what, Bill? I'm with you.
Yeah, and I wonder if Nick is going to start putting his own career before everybody else. Because, look, this coaches get fired in this league, and he might not fall on a sword for a team that's kind of stripped him of all the duties in the last couple of years.
Yeah, I mean, people, you know, Doug Peterson had tremendous loyalty to this team right up until he didn't.
Yeah.
And
Doug Peterson still is risking his career for a certain coach.
Yeah,
Pratt. And it's going to ruin him.
I love Doug
poor
Peterson.
Poor Pratt.
By the way, so here's an honest question, guys.
Eagles, by the way, are 32nd in the NFL in giving up yards per play.
Oh, lovely. Last. Great. Lovely.
Here's an honest question.
2 weeks,
say Nick Sirianni doesn't last, right? Does he get another job?
I think he will.
I think
he's great playoff appearances, NFC title, 35 and 18, somewhere in that range.
Highest winning percentage in
I think he gets
91-year-old franchise history. There's a lot of – have you seen some of the coaches in this league?
I have. One just benched the quarterback he didn't want.
I agree with Dave there.
I just know. He didn't draft him, and the GM did not draft him. That is not their fault.
And Dave Canales only has one shot to be a head coach. And look, not that Andy Dalton's great, but at least you can run an offense with Andy Dalton. I've been talking about quarterback play, Jeff. All these young quarterbacks are so absurdly unprepared to play because of what they're doing in college.
Caleb Williams looks unprepared, and Caleb Williams is a talent.
Yeah.
But he's unprepared.
But they don't know how to play the position, and there's not enough time to teach him, but they have to play him. Well, in Dave's case, Dave Canales' case, you know, he fails, and he's going to fail because he's got a terrible team.
And terrible.
He's never going to get another opportunity.
No. You know what? He'll go back to being an offensive coordinator and reclaiming Geno Smith and Baker Mayfield and those guys. Meanwhile,
those are the guys who can play.
Yeah.
Geno Smiths who've learned and go through it, and the Baker Mayfields and the Sam Darnolds. Because I believe Sam Darnold's going to have a good year. I don't know how good, but
John,
he's off to a good
you
start.
Called that months ago. Months ago.
I'll
give you your flowers.
Because
on that.
He's got a good supporting cast, and I think he
I always
said, to play the position now.
There's one thing I always liked about Baker. He has a really good head on his shoulders, and I can't remember if it was – I think it was Fox that interviewed him, and he said, you know what? People have a plan. He said it didn't work. He goes – do I want to be in 14 to 3 years? No, but he said, I'm better off for it, and I'm a better quarterback for it. And, you know, Liam Cohen, that year he was in L.A., gets with Dave Canales. Now he's back with Liam Cohen again. It's everything's coming up roses for that guy right now.
Yeah, Jeff, we got to run. Thanks for joining the show, man, this morning. Great stuff, great debate, good conversation, good energy
I have to bring it for you, Xander.
Jeff Kerr, we appreciate you bringing it on Birds 365, brother. We'll talk to you next
thank
week.
You, Jeff, because you took some of the pressure off me. I appreciate it.
I have to speak for you too at some time. Sometimes.
Jeff, thank you, man. We'll talk to you again next week, all right, brother.
See you guys. Thanks.
All right, there's Jeff Kerr. Great stuff from Jeff Kerr on this morning after 4 hours. We got some energy on this Birds 365, Johnny Mac, for not much sleep coming off a tough Eagles loss.
Yeah, I was surprised. Jeff bringing the heat.
Yeah, man. Jeff bringing the heat. I love it. I like going at it with him. I'm going to stick to my guns on what I think, though, about the quarterback.
Well, good. I think people are too soft on Jalen normally because I constantly get killed for being a Jalen Hurts hater because I said something in 2021 that people act like I said yesterday.
I know.
And always posted on. So, I mean, people are morons. I'm sorry. But, players evolve, opinions evolve. And by the way, one of the things with that, Kyler Murray, he had a perfect passer rating, by the way. He might be the most underrated quarterback in the NFL.
Jonathan Gannon's got that team looking pretty damn good over in Arizona. So we'll monitor that. Jeff, John, before I get to a break, I do want to hit on – I don't want to miss out any of these Super Chats. Appreciate everybody, by the way, in the chat this morning. Thanks, everybody. Hit that like button if you're enjoying the show. Tough loss last night, but hopefully this team can bounce back and get back in the win column.
At Kroger Pharmacy, Care is making it easy to get vaccinated. Care is helping you stay protected from flu, COVID, and RSV. Seasonal vaccines are available 7 days a week with evening hours. Care is giving you a shot at staying healthy this season. Walk in whenever is best and get multiple vaccines in one visit at your local Kroger Pharmacy. So come and get the protection you need while protecting those around you. Kroger Health, a world of care is in store. Visit Kroger.com/vaccines for more. Restrictions and exclusions apply. See site for details.
We've seen the impact we make when we stand together. So let's stand with candidates who represent us in Washington, D.C. Sherrod Brown always stands up for the well-being of our community, capping the price of insulin and cracking down on predatory landlords jacking up rents in black neighborhoods. Black power is in our votes. Let's use it today. Vote now to re-elect Senator Sherrod Brown.
Paid for by Ask Me People, AskMePeople.org, which is responsible for the content of this ad, not authorized by any candidate or candidate's committee.